Welcome to Read It or List It. I'm Phoebe.
And I'm Ashley.
And in today's episode, we are going to review and discuss Dominicana by Angie Cruz.
If you've never listened to our review episodes before, we keep things spoiler-free for this first episode. And that way you can listen to it if it's on your TBR, if you've never even heard of it. You don't have to worry about us spoiling anything in this episode. But once you have read the book, we also do a second review episode that is all bets off. We talk about the plot. We talk about the characters. We talk about everything and don't hold anything back. So we hope that you tune in for our spoiler discussion in the episode immediately following this once you've read the book.
So Dominicana is a backlist title for both of us. It has been one of those books that has been on our shelves for way too long. So when we were doing our historical fiction series, I think we both were like, well, this is absolutely perfect to get us to finally read it. And as the case is, I feel like with so many of the books that I ended up reading surrounding historical fiction, I'm just like, why did I wait so long to read this? Like, how? And it is, I mean, it is a heavier book. We're going to give a synopsis in just a moment. So I guess it makes sense that I haven't been reaching for it in 2020, but since it was such a, like, it's a very quick read because of the way that it's written, it makes you not want to put it down.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I always feel that way about historical fiction novels where I am like, oh, I don't know if I'm in the mood for this. But then once I open it and pick it up and start it, I just become so engrossed in the book. And Dominicana was no exception to that. And I didn't know if I could handle a book like this at this time. And I'm really glad that I did because I think it was beautiful. And there's just so much to talk about with it. And you can really, you know, get immersed in the story. I read it in like less than 24 hours, which is very fast for me.
Yeah, it's just about 300 pages. So if you, it's for what is inside of it, it's very digestible because of the length, I think. Yeah. But if you haven't read Dominicana, Dominicana is the story of 15-year-old Anna, who never dreamed of leaving her home in the Dominican Republic. But when an older man named Juan proposes to her, her family seeks opportunity in the United States. And so she immigrates to the United States, to New York City. And it is the story of how she sort of adjusts to this life that she never dreamed of and being so young. And it takes place in the 1960s.
And it's a lot, you know, there's a lot about her growth as a character, or as a person, as an immigrant, and just in life and in love and in dedication to her family and what family means.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's get into it then.
I feel like the thing that I want to start with is just talking about, I had the audiobook and I had the physical book, which if you've been listening to the podcast for a minute, or you know me on Instagram or whatever, you know that that is not a novel situation, pun intended. I do that all the time. I always listen and read along. I actually saw something, someone posted like reading habits by Enneagram type, and it was like, oh, I think it was Sarah at Bookish and Black posted, oh no, it was by your sign, like bookish, like things that you do or how you read by your horoscope sign. And whatever Capricorn was not me, but Taurus was, reads and listens to the book at the same time. And I was like, okay, guess I'm a Taurus now.
Do you, oh, well, I think we have the same rising sign and all of that because our birthdays are 2 days apart. I was gonna say like, oh, like maybe you have a rising sign that's a Taurus or something, but I don't think that's possible. Unless, yeah. All of that stuff may come down to time. I don't even know. I'm not an expert on astrology at all.
I have no idea.
I like to call what you do surround sound reading.
Oh, I like that.
I've been doing that with the Throne of Glass series, listening to it on audio and reading the physical copy, typically at the same time, because those books are chunkers towards the end, and obviously with like fantasy there's so much going on. And I feel like with a book, so the audio for Dominicana is available on Scribd. I feel like with a book like Dominicana that go so in depth into a culture that neither of us hail from, I think that the audiobook creates a different sense of authenticity.
Yeah. And I also, what I was going to say is I thought that it was really, really helpful for me to get to hear Anna's voice in a way that was not how I would project her voice to be, you know, like it, mm-hmm. it felt, it made the experience a lot more engulfed in the story. And I think that that is true most times when I do this approach, which I love to do. I highly recommend it. And if you have a subscription like Scribd where you don't have to pay per credit, it's really beneficial. Or if you use like your, get audiobooks from your library, through Libby or whatever, I think that that's another really great way. I just, it, to me, it makes the reading experience all that much more special. But for this book, I would highly suggest if you're going to do, because I think the audio has tremendous value for the reasons that Phoebe and I just said, but then also I think that reading the physical book has tremendous value because it is, the format is so unique and so special. I think together the two things are really powerful. It kind of reminds me of Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds, because Jason Reynolds narrates that audiobook and the story itself is told in verse. And reading both together is just, it's like spoken word. Like it's just so flawlessly delivered that way. And I feel like you get the most out of the story that way. And so reading Dominicana, on the one hand, if you're listening to it, you're getting the story, you're able to follow along about who's speaking and when they're speaking, but you miss some of the magic of the actual prose where on the written page, Angie Cruz uses negative space, and at one point she uses, when she's, there's a letter in the book and it is stained with tears, and so she uses gray font as opposed to black font to kind of mimic that. And I just, there's just like little moments of that throughout the story that I thought were incredibly powerful that if you were only listening to the audiobook you wouldn't get, but then if you were only reading the physical book you would miss some of these, like the expressions and the like little extra bits that you get when you listen to a book.
Yeah. It's almost like it's illustrated. It's not actually, and literally there are no pictures on the page of this book. But it's almost like she treated it like its own work of art. And it's very poetic. It's written in almost like vignette style, and there's no quotation marks for the dialogue, which I think it's not the first time I've read a book that didn't have quotation marks for dialogue, but it definitely, I think, served, it served Anna's story, because Anna comes to New York City not speaking English, and the way that you are reading her words, like, you are processing her thoughts along with her, and she doesn't always know what people are saying, and there's very little translation, even when Spanish is sprinkled in, which I think adds to the authenticity of how Anna was feeling. Like, she's 15 years old when she is sent away from her home with so much responsibility on her back. Her parents expect her to encourage her husband to send money home to them, encourage her to send clothes and basic hygiene products like toothpaste and deodorant home, and continue to send, like, they're like, this is your duty. You have to encourage your husband to work hard and that you need a job. I did like that her parents were like, you need to get in school and you need to get a job. They are just trying to keep their family together, and because there's a war going on in the Dominican Republic at this point. She has younger brothers, and there's just so much responsibility on Anna's shoulders, and she doesn't really waver. Like, that's like one thing I really noticed about her, is that she is pretty steadfast in what she knows is expected of her, even though she's terrified.
Yeah, it's it's like this thread of knowing that everything that she's doing is for her family and the weight of her family's future is on her shoulders. This little 15-year-old girl who has had already such tremendous life experience. She then travels to another country and is forced into a way of life that's very different from what she's accustomed to. And all the while, she knows that every move that she makes in America will directly impact her family back in the Dominican. And it's just so, you can just feel the weight that Anna holds on her shoulders throughout this book. And I think that the lack of quotation marks, I think the lack of chapter headings, all of that really propels that forward, because it's like Anna feels like this is a sprint and a marathon all at the same time, where she can't stop for a moment, but she knows that this is the long haul. Like, this is, nothing's going to change. Like, she has expectations that she has to fulfill, and they're working towards this goal of having her whole family be able to emigrate to the US.
Yeah. I definitely feel like how when she arrives at the apartment for the first time, she takes in that only men have been living there, and it's a very she covers all your senses in that moment, what it looks like, what it smells like, what the air feels like. And there's this heaviness, but she gets right to work. And that was something that I could really relate to. Like, when I don't like change, when I am experiencing change or something that is really overwhelming for me, I fall into the habits that I know the most. And Anna knows how to cook. She just sort of did what she saw her mother do, and what she would expect a wife to do in the home. And she gets to work right away, cleaning and making food for when Juan, her husband, returns home. And that was something that, like, I don't think I at 15 would have had the foresight to just be like, all right, I am going to do what is familiar in an unfamiliar place. But I don't know, like, that scene really, I mean, we'll talk more about it in the spoiler episode, obviously. But it's just an example of how sensory Cruz's writing is.
Yeah, absolutely.
She fits so much into 300 pages.
Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned that Angie Cruz has a great appreciation for art. And I think that kind of comes through really well in this book. I just thought it was a masterpiece. I will forever rate books that are able to accomplish and say so much in not a lot of pages the highest. The Nickel Boys, this book, like anything that's under 350 pages that's able to accomplish what Dominican is able to accomplish is, you know, worthy of all the praise that it's getting. And another really important thing to keep in mind when reading this book is it's set in the 1960s, and it's it very much is an immigrant experience for Anna, being from the Dominican Republic. And she's in New York City, and her apartment is across the street from the Audubon Ballroom where Malcolm X was assassinated. And his assassination occurs during the course of this novel. And it is really powerful to hear Anna's story told against that backdrop, because Anna herself is not Black. And so it's distinct from the Black experience in America at that time, but it very much is central to the story, how Anna processed everything, how she's able to, and again, I think we'll talk about this more in the spoiler review episodes as to like the substance of what goes on in her life during this time. But there are several times in the page where Angie Cruz reminds us that when Anna feels joy in the situation, that joy is still sombered by the facts of what else is going around New York City at that time. Mm-hmm. When she feels happiness, she's reminded, wow, I can't believe 2 weeks ago a man was murdered right across the street. And it's just so powerful and so visceral the way that that is conveyed.
Yeah, and something that I mean, obviously we know I have a deep appreciation and love of New York City, and something that you really see in this novel is the division of neighborhoods in New York City, especially uptown. Obviously, now we know that we have Chinatown and Little Italy and Spanish Harlem, and those are all things that we use pretty casually. But because at the time, that's the way that, that people lived with their people. And you really get the, you get a picture of that division in a way that is very raw. And it's like those things that, like, I think we look at New York City and it's like, obviously in any big city, there are, there's more people. So there's obviously more opportunity for danger. But now I don't think people really realize how those stereotypes have, like, continued to exist. And, like, the names of streets that she was throwing out, like, then now there is a Malcolm X Boulevard, actually, uptown. But they're, like, Edgecombe and Broadway and all this. I'm like, those are streets that, like, I've walked before. And, like, I think when in the scene where, oh, I don't know if this is spoiler or not, I should stop. I'll rein that in to talk about in the spoiler episode. But there's just, like, this is very, the book feels very play-like to me in a way, because it is a slice of life. We don't really, like, at each little vignette, chapter, however you want to categorize it, is, like, it's a peek into different, like, we're following Anna's story, but we get peeks into other moments of history for other people that were incredibly profound. And, like, there's a speech, like, she watches Jackie Kennedy give a speech after, like, and they talk about, you know, the handsome American president was killed. And now that we obviously know that Lyndon Johnson is president at this point. And so you just get so many pieces of history. And that's something I love about historical fiction, is that, like, because we know more than the characters at that point. Mm-hmm. So when you get those pieces, other pieces of history, you're like, oh, like, I know about that, but the character does not realize the significance that that moment is going to have for the rest of eternity.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, we talked about this in the intro episode, that the basic tenet of a historical fiction novel is that the setting matters. And here that setting very much is not just New York City, but New York City in the 1960s. And it just kind of permeates the page. It permeates Anna's experience. And it is, I thought it was really beautiful and raw, like you said. And you're getting this immigrant experience that I think is incredibly important for, you know, everyone to read, especially people like Phoebe and I, like white women. I think that we need to be able to read these stories, and whether it be fiction or nonfiction, and just remind ourselves of the vastly different and unique and beautiful stories of the other women that exist in this country and how they persevered. Anna is a great testament of the immigrant experience, and it's not all perfect. And yeah. And it, there's no Angie Cruz, while she tells a beautiful story, we're not reading this through rose-colored glasses. This is very much real and raw and triggering at times. And the other thing, Phoebe, you were mentioning, like, how we kind of get, like, other components of history throughout the book. We also get some different perspectives. It's not, while it's on a story, there are these little moments where we hear Juan's perspective, or mm-hmm. like letters from another character or whatever. So that's another thing that I thought was really great, is because Angie Cruz is able to weave in history and Anna's story and the stories of the people Anna is around her. And it almost creates like this, like, I don't know, web mm-hmm. of a story versus just a linear story.
I think that's a really great way to describe it, because obviously, we know that Juan, her husband, is twice her age. That's not a spoiler. And that is, or even more than twice her age. I think
he's 31.
Okay, so just about twice her age. And, you know, we kind of like immediately want to like label him the villain of the story. But he, we get to see a peek of how he came to the United States in the first place, all his brothers, the, and, you know, the, and the, I think that something especially that we see with Anna's family is that none of them are ungrateful for what she does. I think that they just have a, they're not falling down at her feet with praise because they realize the necessity of it. And, I know we're throwing around words like raw and powerful and special, and this book is based off of the author's own mother's experience. I'm sure it's not 100% what her mother went through, but her mother says, like she's, Angie Cruz writes in her acknowledgments that she told her mom in 2005 that she wanted to write a book about her life and about her experience, and her mother said, but it's so ordinary. And I think like Ashley was saying that us as white women reading this book, we're like, wow, this is really important for us to read. But then for so many women who emigrate to the United States in search of whatever they're in search of, it's the sense of this is what I have to do kind of permeates, as opposed to like, and obviously we never know the outcome, like, you know, she was doing what was expected of her, and she doesn't fight it. And it is so, like, it's very easy as a reader to be like, oh my gosh, like, this little girl, like, I can't believe that this is what she's going through.
Yeah.
But then when we just look back, I mean, I think in 2020, it's very easy to take that stance when there are so many other points in history where things are really, really difficult in so many parts of the world. And, you know, people, they step up because that is what, that's what they have to do.
And yeah, it's not seen as in, I can attest to this from friends I've talked to that have, that are immigrants, and other situations in which it feels novel when you're reading it. Like, it feels like this is a unique situation, and then you talk to other people who have shared experiences and you're like, no, this is very common. I've experienced that in a variety of different contexts where you feel like you read one story and it feels so it feels so special, and it is in a lot of ways, but there are echoes of that truth and that same pattern and that same story for so many other people. And so the more we open ourselves up to reading stories like this, the more we see the commonalities amongst all of us, and the more that we're able to appreciate how hard other people's lives have been, and how hard they've fought to come to this country, and how far they've fought for their lives.
Well, and we get to see this beautiful character arc in Anna that we'll talk more about in the spoiler episode, which I'm really excited about, because I really like being with Anna in this book was really, really special. And she has this great journey of self-confidence, I think, when she finally finds herself in the United States. But as we mentioned, this book does contain some trigger warnings that we want to make sure you are prepared for. There is domestic abuse, some blood, death, loss of a sibling. And then we've obviously mentioned that Juan, Anna's husband, is older than her. And so there's some marital rape, then obviously the issues of immigration, racism, and colorism.
And in addition to hearing, you know, Phoebe and I talk about this book, we're thankful that you've listened to Read It or List It. We're thankful that you're here and you're listening to this review, and that perhaps this may make you want to pick up this book. However, there are like some really great reviews on Instagram from some voices that we really value. So check out the reviews from, I'm going to list a bunch of handle names. These will also be in the description of the episode.
And they'll be linked. I'll link them on the website as well.
Perfect. And okay, so check out the reviews of The Need to Read, All That Allie Reads, Allegedly Mari, Books and Margs, Trish Reads, Book It Queen, and Lupita Reads, among so many others. If you search the hashtag Dominicana book or Angie Cruz, you'll see a variety of them. These are just some of our favorites that we have seen.
Yes, highly recommend checking those out. So if you enjoyed today's episode and you have already read Dominicana, tune into our spoiler discussion where we are going to hold nothing back because we have a lot to discuss about this book.
Mm-hmm. And make sure to leave a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to Read It or List It so you never miss an episode.
We'll be back next week to wrap up our History, Huh? series. So stop by today's Instagram post at Read It or List It Pod with your thoughts on today's episode.
And you can also find our individual reviews of Dominicana on our websites, readandwrite.com and shelflovebookblog.com.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at readandwrite and at @_shelflove_ to find out how you can be a part of Read It or List It.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.
Original music by Jake Thorne. Podcast produced and edited by me, Ashley Chandler, and Phoebe Wright. You can find us on Instagram at Read It or List It Pod. All rights reserved 2020.